So we've been in a series called Health to All Their Flesh. So let's turn over to Proverbs 4:20. We'll read that, and then we'll pick up where we left off last time. Proverbs 4:20. Proverbs 4:20. Everybody there? It says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you." So we've focused on this part of Scripture, especially on the first, well, pretty much the whole thing, but the first three verses say, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." His words are health to our flesh. We have to incline our ears, give attention to His words, incline our ear to our ears to His sayings. So we have to look at what He said at the expense of or instead of other things that are out there in this world. His sayings are right. His sayings are true. His word is above all. His word is light and truth to us, and they will be health to all of our flesh. We have to let them dominate us. We have to let them be truth to us. We have to let them be true in the face of contradictory circumstances. And this is where the test is, because anybody can walk by sight. Real good example on Sunday. There, you could not ask for a better example illustration. Did anybody watch the Super Bowl? I went to bed at halftime, I'll be honest with you. Not because of the score. I had already predestined that I was going to bed early because I wanted to sleep more than I wanted to stay up. Shouldn't have said that on the recording. You should cut that out. But I went, I want the Patriots to win. But, watching that game, it's not going well in the first half. And, at halftime, you're like, well, I mean, Falcons are looking pretty darn good. They're beating us. Okay? So, I like the Patriots, but if they lose, my life's not going to change. It's not. It's not going to change. You're going to have a lull over the whole state, the whole area, and I go to work on Monday. It's going to be like, ugh. I grew up in Nebraska, and it was like that. I mean, Nebraska, you don't have professional sports anywhere near. The closest sports team is Kansas City. And I never really liked the Royals. My dad's from Minnesota, so that's like 7 hours away. So kind of we're Twins fans, but for baseball, and Vikings for football, but not really Chiefs for football in Kansas City. But we had Nebraska football. And, University of Nebraska, Lincoln, I went there. And would you say Huskers? They've fallen on some hard times. But anyway, when I was growing up, they were good. And then when I went to college in the 90s, they were dominant. When I went in, I went from 92 to 96 in college, and I had season's tickets. Season tickets were $56. It was like $7 or $8 a ticket for the students. And they won national championships in 1994, 95. And I went to all the games and the seasons. We were there watching all that. And then they won another national championship in 97. But anyway, when they lost on Saturday, college football is played on Saturday. When they lost on Sunday, it was like everywhere. I mean, you go everywhere, it's like, they lost. You could feel it. Well, it's like that around here, sort of with the Patriots. But, halftime, they don't look like they're going to win. I mean, that's a good team. And you get down that far against the Falcons, you're thinking, I mean, even for Tom and the boys, they're digging themselves a hole here. And, you know, I went to bed. And I woke up in the morning, and Shelley, first thing she told me, she said, the Patriots won. I said, no, they did. No way. That she's just, you know, running me through everything. And so then, you know, I went out with Andrew Monday morning, and so we watched the part of the highlights from where I stopped watching the game on, and I'm watching it on video. I mean, you've heard these things probably talked about, but I mean, this is classic. You could not even write this any more perfectly to talk about it in this way, because I know what's going to happen, and I'm watching the highlights. And there's no, I mean, even going into the third quarter, you know, they're still getting, Tom's getting sacked, and they keep going back, and you're just like, this is just not even looking, it's just getting worse. I mean, they're going further in the game, and there's no way, but I know they're going to win at this point. And then watching how it happened and how they came back, but if you were to tell people, at the end of the third quarter, the Patriots are going to pull this out, they're going to win. And you don't know at that point to still believe that. See, you don't have any proof. What you're seeing, that's not true. You're like, even for these guys, this is a long shot. It could happen. And do you see the percentages they were talking about? Different points was like 1% chance they could pull this out. It's this and this many that anybody ever comes back from. Well, doesn't really matter, because you know all you need is that thread to win. But it is exactly the way the Word of God is. It's exactly the same thing. Now, if you were to go around and say, the Patriots won the Super Bowl. Yeah, they did. I believe it. If you would have said right after they won, I believe they're going to win. Well, they just won. You don't have to believe. There's no sense in believing. You know. But if you would have told, I still believe they're going to win. The faithful, even the faithful people were falling off. I guarantee you, people, you know, there are people leaving the stadium, leaving the Super Bowl. I mean, I can't imagine that. If you already paid the money and you already traveled, you just might as well hunker in. I guess they just don't want to sit through the celebration of the other team or something. But people are leaving. I mean, even people that are true believers are falling off, right? Thinking, this is just too much. But you, before it's done, you have to believe. I mean, if you're saying they're going to win, well, I believe they're going, you really believe that? I don't know. I think it's too much. So, that's when you can believe. But when it's done, there's no believing. You can't believe. You can only believe what you can't see. If you can see it, you don't have to believe it. People say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. When you see it, it's too late to believe it. You know it at that point. That's too late for believing. Well, I believe Jesus, you know, exists when I see him. Well, it's too late. You see Jesus, it's too late. And, you know, if you didn't believe it beforehand, I don't think you're going to see Jesus, at least not up close like you think. I don't know how it works. You know, I don't know if it's like in the Old Testament or I was talking about Lazarus and seeing that great chasm. I'm like, geez, I wish I was over there, but I'm over here. That'd be torture. But the Word of God, we have to give attention to it in spite of other things. Because we see, I mean, I was thinking about it this week. It just gets worse, the way majority of people look at the world is not the way this book describes it. The reality. And you have to push through that and say, no, I believe the Word. I believe the Bible's true, regardless of what everybody's saying is true and false. And you got to push through that and believe that the Word is true. So that's attending to His words. That's inclining your ear to what He says in spite of what you see and feel and hear theories. And when you don't see it is when you have to believe. People say, well, prove it to me. Well, then there wouldn't be any belief. And God is a God of faith. So what we're talking about here is letting his words be health to all our flesh, letting, inclining his our ears, our attention to what he said in spite of what you feel, in spite of what you see. And this is how it works in our life. Because when you're going through a challenge, if you're dominated by what you feel and see, then you're going to be defeated, because there are circumstances that are opposed to what you say you believe and what the Word says. And if you say, well, I don't feel like it's true, I don't see it, you'll be defeated. So you have to let His Word be true in spite of what we see. And this is exactly what we're talking about. It's not automatic, because His Word's true, that it comes to pass. We have to believe it. Let's go back over to Matthew 7. We turned here earlier. We'll go a little bit further here. Matthew 7, verse 7. Everybody there? It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who receives, or everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, yeah, this part isn't really, but I'll read it anyway. Not what we're covering. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, you do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. But verse 7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So we talked about that last time, that the Word says it will be given. The Word says ask and it will be given. It doesn't say maybe. The Word says it will. So you have a choice to believe, well, what happened? Why isn't it working? Well, who said it's not working? What are you going to believe? It says, seek, you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. But you have to ask in faith. James 1 says, let him ask in faith. If you don't ask in faith, you're like a wave. You go up and down. People don't get that. They just like toss something out there and, well, let's see if it works. Let's see if I get a response. That's not asking in faith. The Bible says if you come to God, you have to believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So you come to God, you have to believe that He is. That's faith. We don't come to God just based on what we think. We come to God based on what He says, on what His truth says, and then we have to let this dominate our thinking and our understanding. Verse 9, what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So if God, or if we, being evil, are natural, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? So how much more will God give good things to us? We're His children. This passage of Scripture is saying that as a natural father loves his children, desires the best for him, for them, our Heavenly Father loves his children much more and desires to give us good things in life. Do we believe that? You know, those of you who have children, if you think of your children, and if you say that God loves you much more than you love your children, that's saying something. If you have children, you're saying, well, God loves you more than you love your children. And you could think, well, how can you love them more? Well, God does. And he loves you more than you even love your children. So just think of it this way then. If things that you would do for your children without hesitation, question is, will God do those things for you? Is he willing to do those things for you? And will he use that power to do things for you? For instance, if your child were burning up with a fever, how many of you as parents would heal him if you could? Can you imagine, I mean, as a parent, if you're watching your child suffer, how many of you would, if you could, make it go away? Certainly you would do whatever you could if it was in your power to do so. Well, God, he wants the same for his children, and he has the power to do it. So then people say, well, why doesn't he just heal everybody? Why doesn't he just heal every sick person? He is all-powerful. He is omnipotent. But he can only do a person's life what a person allows him to do. He can't do anything for people just because he wants to. So some will argue that since God is omnipotent, he can do anything. He can make people do anything he wants them to do. But if that were true, he'd make all sinners get saved and he'd make everybody pay tithes. But he doesn't. We have a decision to make. Nope, he can't do anything more in our lives than we'll permit him to do. Bottom line. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and will eat with him and he with me. But Jesus will not force himself on us. And even though his word is truth, and even though his word is powerful, and he wills to do good things for his children, he can only do what we'll allow him to do, and what we understand and put into practice in our lives. And so his desire, it says, if natural people can do good things for their children, how much more will God do good things, or he wants to do good things for us? But it's up to us how we react, and it's not just a willpower thing. So we're talking about inclining our ear unto his sayings. So if we have a certain understanding of the word, then God is going to use that as much as possible to bless us. Excuse me. So just like your children, even if you have the desire to do certain things for them, they have to cooperate with you. They have to believe you. They have to work with you. They have to obey you. And so it's the same way with us and our Father in heaven. So if we agree his word is true, so it's not just a matter of, well, okay, I'm going to try real hard to believe it. We need to attend to it and let it be the dominant force in our lives so that we can renew our minds, change our way of thinking over to the way he thinks, then he's able to do everything he wants to do. So in other words, we get ourselves into areas, I'm not even saying we're doing on purpose, like we're saying, I'm trying to be disobedient to the word, but we have to make a decision to let the word be first place, let the word be the truth in our lives, and then we have to make the decision to put it into our understanding so we start thinking like him. So in other words, you can know that you aren't thinking right. Well, what's the answer to that? Just keep saying, well, I know I need to change. Okay, what's the answer? The answer is to start putting his word into us so that it can start changing our thinking, so it will affect our behavior, so will our lives will line up with what he wants so that he can do everything he wants to do. He wants to bless us. He wants to. It's not that he's withholding, okay? It's not that he's saying, I'm not going to do it. It's that he's doing, just settle this fact, he's doing everything that he possibly can right now in each of our lives that we'll allow him to do. Now, I'm not saying that when we say allow him to do it, it's like, well, who wouldn't allow him to do something? I'm not saying we're saying, no, don't do it. It's the way we're acting, and I'm not saying even consciously, because we're acting out our understanding of what we believe is true. If we say, oh, I know the word is true, but I just don't feel like doing it, then we're not really convinced that it's true enough to do right now in spite of in any situation that we're in. It's that we feel like if we say, well, I believe it's true, but I'm just not going to do it. Well, then, see, right there, you would never do that. You would never decide not to obey it if you understood as God understands. If our mind was more renewed to the word, that would never be the conclusion. Let me say that a different way. So, When we say, I know what the word says, but I'm choosing not to do it, or I know I've heard that, but I just don't see how it could happen, then what we're saying is our understanding of what his word is, our understanding of his ways is lacking, because you would never look at the word of truth and then decide consciously or unconsciously, that you're going to do something else. So that means there's a disconnect with what we think we believe, where we think we are, and where we actually are, because otherwise our actions would always line up with what he's saying. So what's the remedy? Just go, well, I'm just dumb, I can't get it. No, it's, I'm going to put more of him into me so that I'm going to attend to his word and say, okay, if that's my reaction, I'm missing something. I'm going back to understand it more completely. I'm going to look at him. I'm going to look at what he says. I'm going to take it as truth and believe it. And part of this is just making up our minds that regardless of what we see or feel or the conditions, circumstances, we're going to say he's right. And to the best of my ability, I'm going to act in line with his word, even if I don't feel like it's the right thing. Even if I feel like it's something else, if we'll make up our minds, I'm going to do it anyway to the best of my ability with what I do know, I'm going to do the word, we'll start seeing the results of that, because it's when you're faced with something contradictory that you have the opportunity to believe him. You don't have to understand all the stuff in between. If you'll just make up your mind, what does the word say in this situation? Okay, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that. But if we say, well, I know what the word says, but then right there it shows that we haven't gotten to the point where we're convinced that I should just do what the word says in spite of what I feel. So there's a gap. There's never an excuse for saying the word says something, but I'm going to do something else because. Because what in what circumstance would God's word fail? So by saying that, the remedy when we feel like that, you know what the problem is? We just go back and say, all right, I'm going to incline my ear and stick my face in his word more. If I'm looking at my circumstance, it's too big for me. What I need to do is go, okay, I'm getting more of this. I'm going to stick my nose here. Because if I'm looking over here and it's too big and I'm feeling like, I don't know. You know what the answer is? Okay, I need to look at this more. This is not big enough to me. This is not real enough to me. And if I go up and I say, oh, I still don't know, guess what? Okay, I am going to stuff myself full of this till it starts running out my mouth. And that's how you know you're full. When you start saying it, when you see something, instead of going, well, I don't know, you say, nope, the word says. That's all what we've been talking about in the series is that inclining our ear to what he says, focusing our eyes. That's how his word becomes health to our flesh. It's not, well, it's health to our flesh, so it's, you know, twinkle, twinkle, little star, so it happens. You have to push through what everything else is trying to tell you and say, no, his word is true. If it doesn't feel true, if it doesn't look true, that's when it's time to still look at his word. Because if we say, I know it says that, but, well, then we're not, what are we looking at? We're saying, I know this says that, the Bible says it, but, what are we saying? This says something else. So what are we saying? This over here has more power in my mind than this right now. Does that mean that this is actually more powerful than the Word?
No.
More powerful than God?
No.
What it means is, what's in between what's the circumstances and what God is, if I'm looking and I'm going here, what's in between the Bible and my circumstance? It's my mind. And it's what the calculation my mind's putting out that's messing me up. Because if I look at my circumstance and after processing it, I come up with, I'm not going to act on the word, something in here needs to change because that's the wrong answer. What does that mean? I don't need to look at the circumstance more. That's what a lot of people do. They start trying to look at, they start Googling stuff. They start looking up their symptoms. They start trying to figure it out. That's the wrong place to look. You know why? You're not looking at the word. You're looking at the problem. All that's going to make the problem is just bigger in your eyes. So what people do? They go start looking at the problem. They get their calculator out. They start figuring it out and say, I don't know. How is this going to work? How is this going to work? And then they go back and look at the word that they were looking at before, and it just looks, that's the word says, but this says, and they start going back here, and they start going over. Well, what's that's reverse. You guys with me? That's reverse. You're looking at the wrong. So what we should do is say, okay, this circumstance looks like this, the word looks like this, you know what, I'm tempted to go with the circumstance, so I need to put that away and start just looking at the word. Just shelve it, because it's not going to go anywhere. And if it's that urgent, you know, think, well, if I don't get this fixed, I'm going to go see Jesus. Well, what's the worst thing about seeing Jesus anyway? If you think, oh my gosh, everything's going to crumble if I don't see this. Well, number one, is that true? Or is that a symptom of the fact that you're building this so far up in your head, you think it's more urgent than it is? A lot of times it's better just to let it simmer, just say, you know what? It'll be there tomorrow. I'm going to go just get in the Word. I'm going to look at the Word. I'm going to get convinced of what God said. What, the whole Bible? No. What applies to your situation? What does God say about that situation? And I'm going to look at that. And you know what I'm doing? I'm getting his words in me to where his words are bigger and I see his. I mean, when we start saying, you know what? God Almighty said this. Who's God Almighty? Well, he's the one that created the heavens and the earth. He's the one that creates planets. He's the one that was here before anybody, you know, knew any of the technology that's on the face of the earth. He knew it all, and he was here before all that. He was here before we were facing the problems we're facing, you know, in this day and age. He knows all of it, and he saw me when I came out from my mother's womb, and before I had any problems or knew I had any problems, he knew me, and he's still the God of all, and he's more powerful and knows exactly what needs to happen in this situation. We start exalting him. We start saying his word says this, and he has all strength and all power. See, that's attending to his word, to where now you start looking back at the situation and it starts to look smaller in light of what you're focusing on. Now you've been focusing on the word, and now you look at the problem and say, yeah, but God said this, and look who he is, and this is what this, this is no problem. Did the problem change? Not necessarily. Your outlook changed. Why did it change? Because you just said, I'm just going to choose to believe. No, you started putting the word in that. You see, if you're just going, I'm going to believe, that doesn't work. You don't willpower it. You strengthen your faith. Now, I'm not saying you don't be steadfast and just grab on, but part of that, the way you're going to be able to do that is by inclining your ear to the word and just keeping your eye on that and saying his word, rehearsing his word in the face of circumstances. Say, no, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. And what are you saying? You're saying it in line with the word. Don't make up something. God's not obligated to bring to pass what you make up or I make up. That's where people get into trouble. But if the word says, promises you something, and if God's promised you by his spirit, it's a spoken, quickened things to you that are in line with the word, then that's what we have to focus on. You believe that in the face of circumstance. And sometimes we just need to rehearse. We need to go back. We need to just go and just go over what he's told us. Go over what he said in his word. Go over what he said to us specifically. Rehearse it. And believe that he has good things to give to us. Believe that he wants to. What's the problem? I just need to get more understanding and think like he does. And the more I think like God thinks, the easier life gets. When I come up against something, I say, well, Lord, what do you think about it? Well, you would know. That's what you say. All right, I'm just going to agree with you. How do you get to, I'm going to agree with you? You have enough word in you that you believe that's the right answer. You know, because your carnal mind will say, well, I don't know. I don't have it figured out, so I don't know how that's going to happen. See, that's having little faith, little word. But you can move to where it's like, well, God said it. Okay, well, here we go. Because if he said it, that's the way it is. See, that comes after inclining our eyes to his word. So then we can become convinced that he can do what he said he can do. And the things that he wants to do anyway for us as his children, he can actually start doing. Why? Because we get out of our own way. He's going, I want to do this for you. I said I'd do it for you. And we're going, I don't see how. I don't see how. I don't know how it's going to happen. And so he's like, I want to, but we won't get out of our own way. So we should get out of our own way. How are we going to get out? We got to get ourselves out of the way. How are we going to do that? Know enough to get out of our way. We're going to have to look at the word. Amen.